Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
I wish I could be at your family's Thanksgiving banquet as you enter the room to that music.
Traveling minstrel.
Yes.
Oh, the minstrels are not cheap, you know.
No, I mean, minstrels are very expensive.
You got to have live music for a minstrel like that.
It's Thanksgiving.
You could have a boombox.
No, it's not the same. But it's the holiday.
It's not the same.
Bring the minstrels in and let them do what they do.
For regular family dinners, I just use it. But for Thanksgiving, I got to hire
a guy. No, you bring it up a level or a notch.
Yeah, and he's got to bring his good loot, because you got to have a good loot. Right.
Does he stop and do the scroll? Hear ye, and then whatever the news of the day.
Now presenting Eric Zorn. Yeah. Zorn.
The only problem is he's got a bunch of really obscure and old diseases.
Oh, he does? Oh, you hate to hear that.
So we can't invite him to sit.
That's horrible. Let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, if you wouldn't mind, about your column.
I wouldn't mind. I would not mind to talk about this. What's made me think about this again.
Mm-hmm.
I was off last week. I was in Germany.
Mary Schmick filled in for you.
I heard.
Did a great job.
You don't think I don't listen overseas? I know. Yeah. I was listening. I was feeling like this is my Wally Pip moment, man.
Yep.
You know, Zorn was a regular with Bill and Wendy for many years, and then
until
he took a day off, and then they never heard from him again.
Yep.
So I was over in Germany visiting my daughter, and she's studying architecture over there, she said, you know, you should really download the Google Translate app for your phone. Are you aware of this?
It exists, but I don't know exactly.
Well, Google Translate, and it does for a while. You put in text in a foreign language into Google, and it'll translate it for you into another language.
Instantaneously.
Well, almost, yes, yeah. Basically instantaneously. It does it, you know, yes, in a second or so.
With incredible accuracy?
I don't know. The other language, I guess so.
All right.
But what it has is now, and I didn't realize this, is it has, first of all, it has a camera feature. And so you can take your phone and point it at a menu that's all in German.
Yeah.
Or like about 20, I don't know how many languages they have, 20, more than 20 languages, I'm sure. You just point it at the menu, and it translates the menu, just looking at your phone, and it's translating the menu.
That's amazing.
It is stunning, like in real time.
Yeah.
Also, you can talk into it, and it'll play then what you've just said in the other language to someone you're talking to. And this was a problem, or this was, I say, very useful for us, because the problem we had, I visited some Zorn family shirt tail relatives in Berlin.
Yeah.
And they speak German and Russian and very little English.
Uh-huh.
And I speak English and very little, no Russian whatsoever, and a very, very small amount of German. And so we were using this app to converse.
Wow.
And it was, I don't know, I try to imagine what that conversation would have been, what that visit would have been like without this.
Impossible.
It would have been just, the sun shines, yes.
Right.
Maybe it will rain. Where is the bathroom? What are the phrases that you learn?
Right.
And a lot of hand signals.
And shrugs and so on. But this technology is really, I think it's really only beginning.
You know, it reminds me of what you'd see in sci-fi movies of the 50s and 60s, where they go to another planet and they speak into a device and they hold it up and it speaks their language. But it's a reality here on Earth.
It's very much like that. I'm sure that this is, like I said, we're going to look back at this and go like, wow, that was really primitive, because you actually had to wait for it to translate and then play it
right
back. And I'm sure that they're going to develop more synchronous communication.
Oh, sure.
I can talk into my phone, and they'll be able to hear it in their earbuds.
Yeah.
And so we'll be able to have an actual conversation. I was a little frustrated, because the conversations we were having were, I would ask about certain relatives or certain, I would say like, well, tell me about, this cousin. And they would, and so then they would give me an information. I would try to follow up, but it was very slow.
Yeah.
But I can imagine a situation in the not too distant future where we'll be able to have conversations where language will be no barrier at all.
They're already working on a lot of that stuff, and it's just about the mobility and the speed, right? That's what it is. You think about, what the shrugs, and the faces and the hand signals, that's all you really would have had. And
sure.
Now, they're going to have it to the point where I've seen some things where they're going to have either something that you can wear that takes in the sound, or it'll just be an app on your phone, just like anything else. And you'll just hold it up and you'll speak into it, and it'll almost be instantaneous, ideally.
Yeah. It's very close now. And I think some of the problem with that is that speech recognition is not quite as far along as we would hope it to be.
It's way better than maybe it was, but we all know, as we're trying to do text while we're, you know, doing something else, it says crazy things that make no sense.
Right. And all that, I mean, again, all that stuff is in its infancy, but it's still amazing.
Imagine, Eric, that at some point they'll figure out a way so that it's played out in your voice? Like, you'll say something into it, and then it'll read it in German, but in your voice.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's got
to
happen.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be, until you'll be able to have these conversations and go to these cultures. And really, one of the things that I did when I got back home then is I wrote an email to the woman we stayed with, who was, I think she's my second cousin, and we had these, you know, very short conversations, and I wrote her a very long letter and translated it into Russian, which is her first language, and German her second language, and asking some sort of deep, serious questions about stuff that had happened in the family that was sort of, you know, mysterious.
Yeah. What did you learn?
So nothing yet. She hasn't written back, but I just wrote.
Aren't you anxious?
I just got back on Saturday.
Oh.
So,
Don't you think, Bill, though, wouldn't it be great to have it, like you said, be kind of in your voice, or you could choose the voice? It could be like everything I said, they would hear it as if I was Robert Goulet, yeah. You know, or something.
James Earl Jones is who I would have.
Exactly. Well, you do get thrown off. I know they've got the translation. I don't know if it was the president of Italy or Poland in one of those presidential things, and he's obviously, you know, he's a good speaker for whatever.
Sure.
But it was like a high-pitched lady, the one explaining it. It was hard for me to kind of get beyond that.
They have this. You see it with the United Nations, right? All the people are wearing their headphones, and someone is speaking, and it's being translated simultaneously.
Right.
Into all their languages. Yeah. We can all have that now. We're all diplomats.
There used to be books. They were paperback books that if you were traveling to a country where the language wasn't familiar to you, part of the book would have phrases.
Where is the bathroom?
Donde es la baña? Yeah. Or sometimes it was just a word. You'd do it word by word, and it would take you 20 minutes to just say, I need to find the airport. You know, it would take you forever.
One of the things I was doing was I was translating into German and then trying to read the German. German's not that hard to read.
Yeah.
So and they were like, again? And because of my German pronunciation.
Have you been there before to Germany?
I have been before, yeah.
Yeah? So. What do you think? Do you like it there?
Yeah, I did like it. I was really impressed. You know, Hamburg, the Allies basically destroyed Hamburg in the Second World War, and it's been rebuilt into this incredibly modern city.
Uh-huh.
Most of it is incredibly clean there, except there's graffiti just about everywhere. It's kind of a strange contrast. There's no litter, but a lot of the buildings are tagged.
Cool mural graffiti or
no? Not Banksy stuff. It's more like just gang tags and so on. So it's not.
What's behind that? Do you think?
I don't know. That's
the stress is so much on cleanliness. Why is that a factor?
Maybe that's how it comes out.
That's how they rebel.
Maybe I guess
it could. It could be. So, but anyway. So I mean, this is all leading to. Years ago, I used to do this column every Thanksgiving. I would sort of remind people about what an incredible time we live in. I mean, the age of miracle and wonder, right? The Paul Simon line, which is, you know, so many ways in which we live and things that we can do are the envy of people, you know, just 20 years earlier. But you think of the kings and royalty and the richest people in the world of antiquity would be stunned and jealous at all the things that we can do and the comforts we have and the, you know, and I would just make long lists of things that this is my shallow Thanksgiving, right? It's like, you know, other people are grateful for family and love, and I'm like happy for
the Uber app.
Flush toilets and digital photography and stuff like that.
So your rule, because a lot of people do this at Thanksgiving, they go around the table and they say, give us something you're thankful for. And your first inclination is to say, well, all of you, you're my family. Without you, I'm not. I need you.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
But your rule is you cannot mention people.
I say cordless drills and cordless weed whips, no lick stamps. I mean, thank
Eric,
are you kidding
it's
me?
So funny you say that because yesterday, I don't remember exactly how this came up, but one of my daughters found out yesterday that forever you had to lick stamps. I can't remember how it came up, but she said, why would you lick a stamp? And we said, well, that's how you affixed it to the envelope. She goes, no, there's stuff on it. And I go, well, there wasn't always stuff on it.
See, this is Thanksgiving now. This is Thanksgiving at the Left's house now.
Right.
Let's start with that.
Stamps.
Oh, Lord, we thank thee for no-lick stamps. And you know what else? Forever stamps.
Right.
Now, that is something to be thankful for.
A gift that keeps on giving and giving.
Exactly.
Well, I think part of it.
Do you remember that you have to buy like a 3-cent stamp to add to your 42-cent stamp? It was hell.
Right.
To get around that whole kind of maybe the inconsideration of the self-centered, you know, because you've got to include, I think we're obligated, right, to say it's the family, we're all here. Maybe it's like Wheel of Fortune, you know, they just, instead of having to say it's the RSTNL, you know, those are already like built into it. Of course, right. It's the family, and now on to the new things.
Yes, right. Yes, all of you, Higgins, give it
your thing.
Yes. I always liked on that bonus stamp, like on the big stamp, you go, oh, that's Theodore Roosevelt. I know who that is. Who's on the little stamp? It's Earl Holloman from Police Woman. It was always somebody that's like, what is he going to stamp? It's
because you needed him to right. Fill it to spend the letter.
Right.
He's going to protect Roosevelt.
Did they send those letters back? Like, if you forgot to add the
return to sender. If you were off on a penny on postage, you got it back. It would come back to you.
I mean, you get the punishment, but doesn't seem like it's like, how about you just bill them?
Just give it to, right.
Like, yeah, bill them, yeah, right.
Right.
Or just come and ring your doorbell. We want a penny.
Give us our penny. We'll take a little break and then more with Eric Zorn next. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about whatever he wants to talk about, and it happens to be Thanksgiving.
Well, it was.
It was.
It was, but I'm bailing out on that
topic. Are you bailing? Yeah.
I'm tired. It's over.
Enough.
Thanksgiving's over.
Enough with
Thanksgiving. I've moved on. No, I want to talk about, last week I was gone and Mary Schmidt came in.
Boy, did she do a nice job, Eric. She was so good.
She's really...
I've heard that a lot.
She is really
Everyone's
talented.
Talking about
She's
it.
She's got a Pulitzer Prize.
Yep.
You know?
Used to write Brenda Starr.
I like to say I'm Pulitzer eligible.
Oh, that's something. Yeah.
But she wrote a column that you guys talked about, and it really got me thinking. And basically, if you remember, the headline of the column was "The America of My Childhood So Full of Bunk and Bigotry." And she talked about how, you know, the flesh-colored crayon was just pink, and so we just thought that's the color of flesh. And all these other brown and black people, they're not standard. And people, we would tell like Polish jokes. Those were
the most interesting part of that article to me, and our discussion with Mary was that. You don't realize it at the time.
Right.
Was that things are racist or anti-Semitic or sexist.
Or unsafe.
Unsafe. And you just, you don't even blink. You just go, oh, that's...
And people were smoking everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right? Everywhere.
And, yeah. So the question came up and having conversations with my family, I was just saying, well, okay, let's flash forward 50 years. Someone in the year, you know, in the 2060s, a columnist is writing about her childhood in the 2010s. What is she going to look back on and go, you know, you folks won't believe this, but my childhood, we had this, and this is like horrifying.
Yeah.
The first thing that came to mind was plastics and how we package everything in plastic, and we just use so much and throw away so much plastic. And
right.
I hope, certainly, that in years to come, we will realize just how incredibly wasteful and stupid that was, and we will really limit our use of
We're making plastics. Progress, but it's slow progress.
I think we're making progress, slow progress. I was wondering if you guys had any ideas of things that you think we'll look back on and...
You've got, lists of things that you hope you'll be able to look back on. Of course, Max is always, he loves those post-apocalyptic zombie movies, and so hopefully we're not... Remember when people weren't like groaning and
didn't glow in the dark. Remember those days?
I think it might be the thing that would be tough is waiting, whether it's waiting for that translation or waiting for music or waiting for, you know, movies or waiting for products to be delivered. You know, we see the dying of the shopping mall now, you know, Amazon. They'll probably have perfected the drone drop-off 10 minutes after you order it kind of thing.
So you'll tell kids, like...
We used to wait for everything.
We used to have to leave the house and go to the store, or we'd order on this thing called Amazon, which took... Or actually, it'll be like back when America was called America, not Amazon, but we used to have to wait like 2 days.
Right.
2 days to get our stuff. And and your kids will go like, 2 days? What did you do for 2 days?
Well, everyone's attention span has shrunk to the point where... Even stuff like sending an email now takes people to, I'm not going to have to type out an email. Forget it. That takes forever.
Just talking to him.
It has to be instantaneous for people now.
Yep.
That mine is, boy, this is scary, but I really mean this. The same way this generation now constantly has to have a phone on them at all times. If you lose your phone for 30 seconds now, people are in an absolute panic. You got to be connected at all times. I think the phones will become part of you. I think they'll do something to implant them in your brain, in your hand, somewhere where it's part of you.
Or your eyeglasses. I mean, I know Google Glass, the first iteration of Google Glass was not a success.
Yeah.
But I think part of it was because it kind of looked a little dorky. And it was kind of creepy. But,
right.
but I think the things that we now find creepy,
yeah.
I should say this, the idea we all carry around these tracking devices with us, and nobody really thinks it's all that creepy. I mean, your phone is telling your phone provider and who knows who else
where
you are at all times.
Yeah.
I think that level of discomfort is probably going to keep dropping. Like, oh yeah, okay, everybody knows where I am at all times.
Right.
Another question is that I have is about guns, and. Are we going to say it's unbelievable? We had like there were like three guns for every person in this country, and anyone could buy any gun you wanted. Or are we going to say that it was unbelievable? There was a time when you didn't have to own a gun. You know, where a lot of families didn't have guns.
So you're thinking in the future everyone will just have to be armed to some extent, or maybe we'll be able to look back and say, you know, geez, you know, how we weren't sensible in a lot of different situations, and you have the mass shootings and things like that happen. It could be like the smoking thing, you know, where, you know, we'll be talking about everybody used to smoke on a plane and how crazy that was, to where we'll say, hey, remember when people could just walk into any place with a gun and shoot everybody?
Or remember when you could walk into a school without having to go be strip searched?
Right.
You know, or to go through that you might have to.
It's true.
It's happened. I mean, it happened when they started doing the airlines, right? I mean, 50 years ago, you could just walk onto an airplane. Then you had to, just not too long ago, to get into a sporting event, you get scanned.
Right.
I'm guessing that's going to start happening with
everywhere,
movie theaters, shopping malls, and everywhere you go, you're going to have to be scanned. You have to walk through metal detectors everywhere you go, and people are going to.
And maybe not even places that you are like a destination that you have to go. Just like there's cameras everywhere now.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just be like random scanners that you're just passing
you
by
even
without even
them.
Knowing it. Right.
Yeah. I think that's another possibility. And there's certain safety things. I mean, it may be that we'll look back and say it's unbelievable that in the 2010s people were actually driving their own cars.
Yeah,
we actually had human beings behind the wheels of these
right.
cars who were barely right. trained. They were trained when they were in high school and their raging hormones, and then we gave them licenses for the rest of their lives to drive around the streets of the city. And now, of course, they just sit in the car and tell the car where they want to go.
Whenever you see the future in a movie, it's almost always bleak. It's rarely the future in a movie or a television show is rarely an idyllic, beautiful, wonderful place. There's always a lot of problems. Is that accurate, do you think?
You know, I'm tend to be an optimist about that stuff. I think it's going to be you know, obviously a mixed bag. People look back really with a lot of fondness at the 50s and 60s. And I think one of the points of Mary's column, it was a little unstated in the column, but which is that when people talk about making America great again, and you look back 50 years ago, was America really all that great?
Well, that's the question I brought up with her was, and people asked this when Donald Trump's slogan became Make America Great Again, when exactly was it great? Give us that period. Tell us that year or decade that it was great. Because no matter how great you think things were, there were always issues. There were always problems.
I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't done all the analysis, but I feel like that it's possible that this decade, that America...
This could be it?
That we are... I mean, obviously, right now, I think our president is a disaster. We've got all kinds of looming problems. But that, you know, do you look back in... When was it better? When was it better for mm-hmm. everybody? And, you know, maybe when the economy was booming in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, life is so much better in a lot of ways
yeah.
now. Then. So, I mean, it might be now. I mean, we are living in a time of pretty amazing... For most people, safety, security,
yeah.
and health, longevity, yeah. all that kind of stuff.
So, and the possibility of a lot of this technology, and there's still opportunity to make those changes to kind of affect things. But what do you think, Eric? Do you think it's going to be zombie apocalypse, or do you think it's going to be like, you know, Soylent Green? You know,
those are my choices.
Those are your choices.
Choose wisely. I'll go with the Soylent, because I'm right. not sure what it's made of.
That's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. Read him whenever you get the chance. Good to see you, Eric.
Nice
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.